You're listening to The Rubber Chickens Unleashed.
All right, everybody, that was Brandy C. Mills bringing us in with Van Halen, Drop Dead Legs. Hey, guys, today is Brandy's birthday. Wish her a happy birthday.
That's awesome. Happy birthday, Brandy.
G-Man, are happy, you?
I'm there. I was letting him. I didn't know if he had more. I was kind of let. Sometimes he has more. Happy birthday, it's Brandy. Tradition. Thanks for leading in. And now he's gonna interrupt me. Now he's going to interrupt. You ready? You ready for me, T-Bone?
Yeah.
Okay. Happy birthday, Brandy. Thanks for the lead-in.
Yeah. All right. Did you have more, T-Bone? Did you have more to say?
No.
You were just starting to talk for no reason?
Right.
I was going to admonish G-Man for not participating in social norms again.
I was participating. I was just waiting on you to. You usually have some catchy phrase, call somebody by some name that's not theirs, and you know it just. I was giving you some space. You know.
He was treating her like a waitress at Little Pig's Barbecue is what he was doing.
Yeah, gentle listeners, you don't realize this, but G-Man is the worst person in the world. You to ever wait on. If you're in the waiting office, if you're a dick, if you're bartender, waitress, whatever, he is going to offend you just immediately.
And he doesn't even know he's doing it, is the thing. He's just like, he's like shocked every time we bring it up to him. So anyway, so this is...
this is absolutely ridiculous. But
slander.
Anyway.
It's slander is what it is.
This is absolutely not true.
So what he'll do is, and he doesn't even get this, is you'll go around the table, everybody will place their orders, and there'll be, you know, the little witty talk between you and the wait staff, and they'll come to G-Man, and G-Man's like, do you have Pepsi products? And he'll slam it to you down.
I didn't even say this when it happened, but when we were leaving to go to Nashville, we ran through that Chick-fil-A, you know, all three of us were placing orders, and he ordered like, you know, number one with a sweet tea, and then he paused, and the lady goes, she says, will that complete your order? He goes, no. Oh, man.
Are you guys done?
So,
are y'all done?
Yeah, I'm not even done with the introduction yet. Jeez. So
I have lost count of the number of times that I've gone back and given the waitress like a little extra money and said,
I apologize. I apologize for our friend. He doesn't get out much. So this is TRC Unleashed. This is episode number 90. I am your host, Buck. I am with T-Bone and the G-Man as always. So let me open up with a question for you. I got two questions for you. And on the first question, I just want you to answer yes or no. I don't want you, because the follow-up question, you'll be allowed to talk a little more. I just want yes or no. 2-2 after the first four games. If I told you that on August 1st, we'd be 2-2 after the first four games. Y'all know I love to play this game. Do you sign up for that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Now, knowing what this 2-2 looks like, do you still sign up for this 2-2 that we have?
No.
Yes, because this is about what I expected.
Is it really? You expected us to score 10 points against Kentucky? Against a Kentucky team that gave up 40, that was giving up more than 40 points a game to their first three opponents?
I don't know how many points I expected us to score, but I thought we were going to be bad on offense. Now, I mean, you know, a loss is a loss, but I'll say this. I think we're better on defense than I expected, and we're worse on offense than I expected. But I didn't expect us to be very good on offense, so... This is about what I expected, honestly. I mean, I read somewhere the other day where 47 out of our 52 top offensive players are freshmen or sophomores, one senior. You know, offensive line was built up to be good. They're not. Debo has played about six snaps all season. Pulled up lame on a would-be touchdown against Mississippi State. And we have no playmakers. So, yeah, I'm not really that surprised. Defensively, I think we're playing better than I anticipated.
Well, we have a playmaker. He's just apparently going to redshirt this year.
Yeah,
Lorenzo probably. Nunez.
Oh well.
I'm getting more and more frustrated at you know, I don't like to complain about these kind of things typically because, you know, I'm not a coach. I'm not there every day. I don't. Maybe Lorenzo Nunez is not even putting his helmet on correctly.
Let's correct that statement for a second. You're not there ever.
Right. I'm not there. Yeah. I'm not even. No. Yeah. I watch it on TV. Hey, I saw him live in Nashville. That was pretty much it. But I don't understand it. We talked about this before the season ever started. We said, you know, Lorenzo Nunez is going to have a place in this offense. They're going to have a package for him. He's going to get 8 to 10 touches a game. He's great with the ball in his hands. I don't expect him to play quarterback, and I don't expect him to be out there for 30 plays a game playing wide receiver. I'm like, have a small package of plays for him. I actually went back and watched some highlights of Lorenzo Nunez from last year running the football. He's just so good with the ball in his hands. I can't and with our just dearth of offensive talent, I can't figure out why we can't get him on the field. I mean, T-Bone, you with me here?
It's a head scratcher. It's a real head scratcher. And if Muschamp hadn't already, I'm sorry, I've already broken my own rule. If Muschamp hadn't already completely scared every member of our media. If you're not watching these press conferences, you need to. He just stares them down. But if he hadn't already scared them to death, somebody needs to ask him about this. Somebody needs to ask him about, you are hurting for playmakers, and you got seniors on this team, but this is it for them. You know, get this guy on the field. You know he wants to be out there. But then again, I don't know, because it appears to me, at least, it appears to this observer that Muschamp would prefer to play defense. His idea of a football game is pin them deep and play defense. And, you know, that's a decent formula. But, you know, I don't know how much he cares. You know, if the defense gets the ball back, he counts that as some kind of win, and we're supposed to feel good about it.
So wait a minute.
We're four games into the Will Muschamp era. Four games.
Nobody's calling for him to be fired.
No, I'm making a step. We're four games in.
Yeah.
Okay. And T-Bone just said he doesn't think the coach cares. Okay. and I mean, we're 2-2.
I said he doesn't care about offense.
So you think that he just would rather not play offense, which is
the next step for him is to start punting on 3rd-and-1. I mean, I don't know. Because he could bend them deep, and then we could stop them and get the ball back.
So you're on a cell phone. I don't think people can hear you, you know, quite as well. That's probably
good, actually, that they can't hear.
You called him. Now, why are you calling him Will Punt Champ? That's P-U-N-T-C-H-A-M-P.
He's Will Punt Champ because how many times? Three times? Four times? We were 4th and less than 2 with the ball over the 50-yard line, and we punted to him. And the first time that happened, I said, yeah, that's smart. We'll pin them deep. But then when you start realizing how much we're struggling on offense, giving away possessions like that seems like craziness to me.
Yeah.
And so you're expecting that we're going to actually make the first down when we go for it.
I'll say this. The 4th-and-2 that we had on Saturday against Kentucky with 8 minutes left, you know, somebody on Twitter posed that same question. Do you really think we can get it? And I was like, you know what? I don't know if we can get it or not, but I'd rather take my chances on 4th-and-2 than kick the ball to the team that just shoved the ball down our throat to score the go-ahead touchdown. I mean, we did get the ball back, you know, after they ran about 5 minutes off the clock and we got into desperation mode. But I'm not saying he should go for it every time. I would like to see him take a chance every once in a while, you know, when we're in plus territory and we've got a fourth and one or fourth and two.
Well, we did go for it once in the East Carolina game on fourth and one, and I'll remind you that we got stopped, okay? And that was against East Carolina. Now, the strategy to punt in the Vanderbilt game worked.
The funny thing is that that East Carolina, we weren't even in plus territory. We were on our side of the field. We were like
right,
on our own
right.
40.
But my point is we went for it on fourth and one and didn't make it.
Well, okay. And we're not going to make it 100% of the time. We're not.
I don't think we're going to make it. I don't think we're going to make it 10% of the time because we're no good on offense.
Well, here's the thing. I'll tell you exactly how many times we're going to get it when we punt. Zero. We're going to get it 0%.
You don't know that. We may fake it. I mean,
could you imagine us doing that?
Actually, I could. Yeah, actually, I could. I mean, we're four games in, guys. Are we going to do this? We're 2-2. We could easily be 0-4. Let's just think about it for a second. Easily, we could be 0-4.
If it wasn't for coaching, we would be 0-4.
I mean, 0-4. We could easily be 0-4 because we're bad enough to be 0-4.
Hey, listen,
the way we play.
Do you not want to have a show? Do you not want to have a show? We just want to have a show.
No, I'm happy to have a show, but I'm happy to have a show. Now, I got critical things to say, too, but I mean, I'm just thinking that was a little bit harsh.
Conflict.
Just saying.
Conflict makes for good radio.
I'll tell you what's harsh. What is harsh is losing for freaking Kentucky for the third straight year.
Yeah.
That's harsh.
Well, we're a bad football team. We're bad. Let's just – I mean, do you think that we're good? Because I'm confused.
Yeah. No, but in case you've missed my involvement in this podcast for the past 89 episodes, let me clue you in on something. I always think we're bad. We're trash. I'm sick of us.
Yeah, but
that's kind of my thing.
But we're not a good football team, guys. I mean, everybody kind of knew the cupboard was bare, really bare. Okay, and I think one of the reasons why they're holding Nunez back, get back on that for a second, is I think we're just sort of going to try to get through this year. We're going to redshirt Nunez. Okay, we're going to get that Williams kid. We're playing for next year. They don't care about this year. I mean, they'll tell you they care, but they don't really care about this year.
So
it doesn't really matter.
Muschamp is pulling the old, hey, look over there. What's that trick? You know, he's hoping we'll turn our head and won't watch for the next
well,
8 weeks.
We're going to take our lumps this year, guys.
Well, we
just
are.
Just be prepared.
We know.
Do you know what I wanted to do?
We know.
Do you know what I wanted to do? I wanted to beat Kentucky. Okay, I did want to beat Kentucky.
Sure.
I mean, Kentucky's bad. I mean, I know we're bad. I just didn't want to be the baddest of the bad. But yet, here we are. We're better than Kentucky. I know we lost to them on Saturday. We're still a better football team than Kentucky. And somehow we managed to score 10 freaking points. And here, you know, a lot of people are justifying this by saying, oh, man, we got a freshman quarterback. We got a lot of young guys. It's like 80% of our offense is freshmen, and we don't have playmakers and all this stuff. And guess what? We're 127th out of 128 FBS teams in points per game. Do you think those other 126 teams don't have a freshman quarterback or a lack of experience? Somehow they're scoring points. Somehow New Mexico State scored, 42 points on Kentucky? Do they have more talent than we do on their offense? It's just, hey, look, I'm venting.
They probably do.
I'm venting. I can't imagine they do. I can't, but.
They probably do.
All I'm saying is, and I'm all for, you know, I've written on the blog. Do you guys know we have a blog, rubberchickensblog.com?
No.
You're aware of that? I mean, I've written on there, I've asked people to be patient. I've asked people to be, you know, I've said it's going to be a long year, you know, be patient. Don't be calling for the firings and all this stuff. But then there are moments like this moment I'm having right now where, you know, always use your eyes. Tell me what you see with your eyes. And what I see with my eyes is concerning on the offensive side of the ball.
And here's the thing. Yeah, here's the thing, too, is, you know, it's just us girls. Let's talk about our feelings. Let's be okay with being dissatisfied. We're not going to bail on Muschamp. Nowhere close to bailing on Muschamp. But, man, this sucks.
It sucks, but all I'm saying is it's sort of, we kind of knew this was the way it was going to be. We just didn't know how it was going to feel when we got here, because
that's pretty good. I agree with you. Yeah.
Right. And that's why I asked the question. It was like, do you sign up for 2-2, or do you sign up for the 2-2 if it feels like this? And this doesn't feel good, because what it feels like right now is 4-8. That is, if we can beat UMass.
Question.
Yes, go ahead.
What if we'd have lost 48-45 in a shootout? Would you feel good about that?
Then I'd be bitching about the defense. I mean, what do you want?
I'm just asking, because it's an interesting perspective. I am actually pleased with the way the defense is playing, and I think that they're a lot better than I expected them to be, even with the holes that we've got. But, you know, unfortunately, you got to score points. You know, we can't score any points. I mean, hell, we scored a touchdown on a special teams play and had that call back, you know.
We had an interception return for a touchdown that all day long looked like a bad call. And I never went back and looked at it after, like, the four times during the game that I looked at it. But apparently Muschamp came back and said it was a good call, the interference flag, said it happened before the ball was released. But I agree with you. I think our corners are playing well.
Right.
I think our linebackers are playing well. And what got into Darius English the other night? I mean, 3 sacks, and he looked good coming off the edge.
How about Sawyer?
Yeah, he was. Yeah, Dante Sawyer looked good. Yeah. I mean, there's some bright spots, but
Remember this too. We have played 3 SEC road games to start the season.
Yeah.
I mean, we couldn't have gotten a worse draw for that. You know, 3 in a row. I mean, granted, we're not playing Bama, you know, LSU and Georgia, but still, I mean, that's a pretty tough situation for a true freshman quarterback in what is apparently now a non-existent offensive line. You know? I mean, let's talk about
that, because I think that's something we need to turn around and at least vent about. What is the deal with the offensive line?
I don't know.
Lack of talent.
I mean, Mason Zandi was like the face of the offensive line before the season started. Everybody was doing stories on him. Didn't he go to Media Day? He's just getting whipped. I mean, he was getting whipped by a 6-foot-tall, 230-pound defensive end against Kentucky the other night. Imagine what Myles Garrett is about to do to him on Saturday night. Good gracious. And then I don't know. I mean, we got a couple of guys. Pellage is either suspended or hurt, and then there's one other offensive lineman that we've had hurt. Donnell Stanley, didn't he sprain his ankle or something like that?
Yeah, the first play of the Vanderbilt game.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe we can get a guy back. But
you got Corey Helms, who, you know, I'm still not over the way he got whipped on the first couple of plays against Mississippi State. Really looking forward to watching that guy play and still hoping his best football's ahead of him. But, woo, boy.
Well, I mean, we're just not very good up there. And we were sold a little bit of a bill of goods that we were going to be good up front, and that was going to be the strength of the offense, but it's clearly not. I think it's pretty clear at this point there is no strength of the offense.
Yeah, and probably the weakest part of the offense is Debo Samuel's hamstring.
Right.
And I had no idea that hamstring injuries were contagious, but apparently Brian Edwards tweaked his hamstring. I think that's what's going on with Dreek Davis too. Wasn't his a hamstring?
Yes.
It's like the wide receiver groups I think Debo's like sneezing on them, and somehow it's straining the hamstrings of the other wide receivers. It's a medical mystery is what it is.
Well, Debo's had a strained hamstring for the better part of his career.
His entire life, right? Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Jack Davidson's lighting it up with Tramiel Terry at Jacksonville State.
Yeah, I saw that Shaq scored a touchdown Saturday. That's the way it goes. Is Tramiel Terry playing well too?
Yes, from what I understand.
Yeah. Yeah, well, good for those guys. Good for they didn't want to be a part of this dumpster train that we got going on. So we do have Texas A&M coming in on Saturday. And I don't know if you guys saw what I posted today. But it was, for some reason, it hit me today. This is, Texas A&M has been to Columbia once. I think they've only been once since they've been in the SEC, and that was August 28th of 2014. Think about that day. Think about August 28th, 2014, when we played Texas A&M.
That was the high watermark of Gamecock football. It's not been that good since.
It really was.
Well, the beginning of the end, basically.
I mean, it was before toe met leather in that football game. There was not a greater moment in South Carolina football. That was as good as we have ever been before that game started, because we were coming off an SEC East title in 2010, three straight 11-2 seasons, three straight bowl wins, finished number four in the country. There was a Steve Spurrier documentary on Wednesday night before that game on the SEC Network, which was brand new. It was the first football game ever. We had Gamecock Park opened up. The big 80-foot banner of Spurrier was unveiled on the side of the stadium. The SEC Network crew was there. And Texas A&M was going to be a tough game. You know, they were a top 25 team, but hey, we were top 10. We were going to handle them, right? And then it has been absolutely downhill ever since then. Do you remember that day?
Did you guys see the interview with Spurrier in the last couple of days where he said that he recognizes what he did wrong is he didn't surround himself with what he called the right personnel the last couple of years at South Carolina?
Yeah. So that leads into a Twitter question, kind of the only really serious football question we got, and it was from Patty Daniels, our friend Patty Dan at Patty Dan. She says a player's mom tweeted today that she doesn't like all the talk about quote bad unquote recruiting because the players who were recruited the last few years are being labeled as bad. And Patty says, I kind of see her point. Recruiting was incomplete and there wasn't enough depth, but I don't want the players who were recruited during that time to feel underappreciated. So I went back and I found the tweet she's talking about, and it's Chandra Jones, who is Devin Washington's mom. If you guys don't remember Devin Washington, he came to South Carolina, was a defensive end, had a lot of health issues, concussion problems, never really got to play. So she tweeted, I feel some kind of way about implying the recruitment of players during a certain period was bad. Not a nice thing to say about your players. So I don't know what Spurrier's exact words were. So T-Bone, do you think she's just being a mama bear, or do you think she has a point there?
Yeah, I mean, she's being a mama bear. Trust me, the players know that the recruiting fell off. They look around and see that they don't have a Marcus Lattimore or a Jadeveon Clowney or a Connor Shaw. They know that we're not telling them anything they don't know. But, you know, no mom wants to hear that. And so I don't blame her for feeling that way at all.
Yeah. How about you, G?
I've said this before. I mean, I think the recruiting definitely fell off. But I think that, you know, we also had a very good run with some in-state talent that kind of was easy for us to grab. You know, he didn't have the right coaches in to get the players out of state. And, I think we were kind of getting who we could get at that point. And it turns out that they just weren't up to the caliber of the guys we had gotten before.
Yeah,
with the guys we had recruiting them, we didn't have a great recruiting staff in there. I don't know. Maybe that's what he's talking about. Maybe he didn't have the right coaches.
Yeah, and I think I kind of agree with Patty here a little bit. I mean, I think it's the way he's saying things maybe that's rubbing some people the wrong way. And I don't know. He just needs to. He's not going to keep his mouth shut ever, apparently. But that's fine. But he doesn't really care much about people's feelings either, as he moseys through life. Did you see him? And thank you for the question, Patty. Appreciate that. Did you see him at the Oklahoma game? He was wearing an Oklahoma Nike pullover.
No, he was
standing next to Stoops. And I didn't think as much about him wearing an Oklahoma pullover as I did that he's got a big Under Armour contract. You think Kevin Plank appreciated Spurrier standing there with a big Nike swoosh on his chest?
You know what we're doing, though? You know what we're doing?
What are we doing?
We're talking about Spurrier.
We are. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, it's you know, he's gone. He's done. You know, he's going to run his mouth because that's what he does. You know, and we got to get past him.
Yeah.
We got to move on.
So let's go ahead and move into a couple more questions. Eric Kaiser, E. Kaiser 312 says, is there even enough talent on this team to be emotionally invested every weekend? And should we be searching for answers or resign to hope for the future? So the second part of the question, I think we probably answered a little earlier, is I think we just have to hope for the future at this point. You know, the part about being emotionally invested every weekend, I mean, I've been at, G-Man's been at this, actually both of you guys have been at this longer than I have. I guess I've been at it about 30 years. I don't know how to not be emotionally invested at this point. Does that make sense? I, you know.
Yeah, they're your team, man. They're your team. You follow right. them. Sure, you're going to be emotionally invested. You want to win, yeah. And you're going to pull for your team, and you can't really turn that off, man. We've proven that because we do these podcasts and all this stuff.
Right.
So we're not going to turn it off, but I think you can temper your expectations a little bit. But you're still going to want to go in there and win every game, and you're going to hope you're going to win every game. But hell, we've been through rougher patches than this. I mean, honestly.
Right. T-Bone, are you going to stay emotionally invested?
Well, I completely agree with you guys. There's no way to not be emotionally invested. I mean, when I look at the University of South Carolina, I think about so many memories, and I don't want to get too cheesy here, but, you know, I got an education there. I met G-Man there. More importantly, I met my wife there. I went to I don't know how many football games and I don't know how many memories. And now my oldest son goes there. You know, I'm going to watch every doggone game and I'm going to suffer through every terrible game this year. I don't know how I would.
Right.
Right. But yeah. I definitely think we're, you know, we answered the second part a little while ago. Yeah. We've got to suffer through this year. Some years you just know you're going to suffer through. And you got to look at the positives. I mean, we're recruiting well. I mean, recruiting very well for our station in college football.
No doubt.
And you got to hope that we can hold on to these guys, get a few more, and then start building. That's why we hired the coach we hired. He's not without flaws, but you know we weren't going to get. I don't know. We weren't going to get Urban Meyer to come in here. That wasn't going to happen.
Well, and so the cockroaches are coming out now. You know, we didn't hear from them after the Vanderbilt game or after the East Carolina game, but now they're all coming out talking about how they thought he was such a bad hire in the first place. You know,
right.
It's like it's such an easy, cheap shot to say I told you so 4 games into his tenure. Just shut up. I mean, just please take it somewhere else. I hate to sound like Demetra. Just take it somewhere else. All right, that's not going to play around here, Mister.
That's the thing that frustrates me so much is how it's binary. It's completely binary. You're either 100% on board, or you jump to time to fire the coach.
Right.
You know, I got news for you, folks. There's a whole beautiful suffering spectrum in between. That we can all live in. We're not, it's way too early to be talking about firing a coach.
Yeah.
I'm mad at him as I could be, but, you know, I'm still hopeful.
So if the spectrum of emotions is a 100-yard football field, I feel like the three of us are kind of, we're somewhere in between the 40s.
Right.
You know, and we cross midfield and then we never punt. we turn the ball over on downs.
That's right, baby. That's right.
So Rant and Rhonda has a couple of questions here, and I'm not sure how to approach this first one, and I'm not sure why she's asking the question, but because we like Rhonda a lot, we'll try. So she says there's a game, I guess, that the kids play. She's calling it, because this is a family-friendly show, she's calling it Kiss, Marry, Kill. So typically the first part of that game is not kiss. It's something else. But anyway, Kiss, Marry, Kill. And she lists Jim Donnan, Phil Fulmer, and Tommy Tuberville. And I don't think I've ever played this game with three ex-coaches. Actually, Tuberville's still coaching. So T-Bone, who do you kiss, who do you marry, and who do you kill?
I'd grab Tuberville's big jug ears and lay one right on him.
You'd kiss Tuberville.
I'd marry Donnan because you could boss him around. He'd run errands for you and not say a whole heck of a lot. And I would kill Pat Phil so quick.
So, yeah, Donnan, come to mention it, Donnan looks kind of like a chauffeur driver. If you put one of those black hats on him, like a limo driver. Couldn't you see him raising up the privacy glass and lowering it back down? So, yeah. So the other question is, and I'll have to lean on you guys, I guess, for part of this. She says, Rush's versus Bernie's versus Zesto. So, Rhonda, I'm guessing Rhonda she's young enough to be our daughter. So I'll go ahead and admit, I don't know what Bernie's is. Was Bernie's in Columbia when we were there back in the early 90s?
It may have come in around that time, but it's definitely it wasn't as big a presence as the other two.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah. All right. So
there's not as many Bernie's.
So you've got an opinion on this one.
Oh yeah.
So what's your opinion?
Rank them in order.
1 through 3.
Rush's is definitely number one.
Right.
Without a doubt. Zesto is a close second.
Okay.
But second. And Bernie's is dragging the rear way down.
Really?
You know? Oh, yeah.
So what is Bernie? Is Bernie's a hamburger joint? Or
no, chicken place. Okay. Chicken place. Okay. But you can't beat. I mean, I remember. I'll do a Rush's memory for you. I remember when I was a kid, we would come to the games, and we would always get off on the 378 exit.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
And we would stop. That's the way we would come in, and we would go down 378 to Gervais to Assembly and come in that way every single time. And we would always go to that Rush's. That's like a part of Gamecock lore right there, Rush's. So you got to go with Rush's number one.
Yeah, I agree. Because when we were in college when we got the chance to go to Rush's, we might as well have been going to Ruth's Chris, you know, and getting a nice steak or something. I mean, it was a treat. Go to Rush's, either get some fried chicken or a cheeseburger and polish it off with a chocolate shake. I'd put Zesto too, and I have no idea what Bernie's is, so I'd give that an NA. T-Bone, any opinions on that? Any difference of opinion?
No difference at all. I feel like maybe we should be getting some sponsorship from Rush's, though. G-Man went on for a long time.
I know, seriously.
Supporters of the podcast?
If anybody from Rush's is out there listening, you know how to contact us, and we'll be glad. Yeah, we'll pimp you every week. Sam McDowell, S. McDowell 12, says, rate the Power 5 conferences from strongest to weakest using your butt rankings. So, you know what, you guys are familiar with the butt rankings, aren't you?
Yeah.
And Sam, I'll give this a shot, but I got to be honest with you, I don't want, outside of South Carolina, and maybe one or two big games every weekend. I don't watch enough to know this is the case. So I would say number one in the butt rankings is the Big 12. Because I don't think they've got a shot at putting anybody in the playoff at this point. TCU has lost. Oklahoma has lost. Oklahoma State has lost. I mean, there's really not anybody else. I'd put the Big Ten second because they got Michigan and Ohio State. I'm going to put the Pac-12 third in the butt rankings, ACC second, and SEC. SEC, SEC. Come on, y'all join me. SEC. All right, don't.
You're doing great.
So there you go. So that was it. I don't think a lot of people were online tonight. We didn't get a lot of, we got like a dozen questions last week, just a few tonight. But
speaking of SEC, did y'all watch the butt whipping Ole Miss put on Georgia?
God, that was fun.
Yeah.
I mean, even losing to Kentucky didn't dampen my enthusiasm over that spanking that Ole Miss put on Georgia.
Yeah, that was nice.
It's
really
fun to
nice.
Watch. Fun to watch old Kirby looking like Larry Culpepper out there on the sidelines.
I mean, at one point it was 45-0, I think.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, my wife walked through the den. I'd stopped to watch it for a second. She stopped and she looked at the TV and she started to walk out. And I said, "Whoa, hang on." I said, "Do you see this?" And she goes, "Oh, I was just checking to see who was playing." I said, "Did you look at the score?" And she stopped and she looked down again. She goes, "Oh, my God. What is wrong with Georgia?" I'm like, "I don't know, but I'm loving it."
Yeah.
So the more I see Kirby, the less I like that cat. So that was the thing with Richt. It was kind of hard to pull against Mark Richt. It was easy to pull against Georgia, but now it's easy to pull against their head coach too. How does K-Bone like Kirby? Or has she had time to even think about it?
No, she's mixed bag right now. I mean, she looks at him as having all of the SEC bona fides and the legitimacy, the resume's right, everything else. But that game Saturday, doubt is creeping in.
Oh yeah, Tennessee finally a big comeback win over Florida. That was a little bit shocking. So, all right, we got Texas A&M on Saturday. The big game of the weekend, T-Bone, is Clemson and Louisville. You got your tickets for that one?
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely.
It's the game of the
everybody
millennium.
Everybody here is all pumped up. I mean, they're going to, end this guy's Heisman hopes, and they don't see any possibility of losing. And, at this point, how can you argue with them?
Oh, man, I really need them to lose. I need them to just be out of the national championship hunt, like Saturday.
Well, I'm all for chaos theory, man. Just whatever bad can happen to anybody, I want to happen,
Yeah.
How about this? How about the Dabo to LSU rumors?
Oh, I had not heard that.
Yeah, I heard that today.
Yeah, no, his name, I had not heard his name.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm gonna, as soon as we're finished here, I'm going to go tweet that the LSU plane was seen in Greenville today.
There you go.
All right, let's get that going. All right, guys.
Definitely.
That's it. Short podcast tonight. We're recording really late. I got to go to bed, but we wanted to make our voices heard this week. Good luck, everybody, going to the game on Saturday. I tell you what, if you're going to the game on Saturday, you stay till the bitter end, all right? I don't want to hear people talking about seats being empty. G-Man's giving me a thumbs down because G-Man will leave in the middle of the first quarter if things aren't going well. Let me tell you, he will be out of there. He's got better things to do. All right, guys, I am Buck for the RubberChickensBlog.com, for T-Bone and the G-Man. We appreciate you joining us, and we'll talk to you next week. Yeah.